Thank you everyone for coming. Today we're going to look at a central theme, and that's, are invasive ants more effective mutualists than their native counterparts? So let me start you off with an overview of invasive ants. It's a very important group, as they're able to extirpate local ants and other arthropods out of the communities they invade. This has cascading effects through the trophic levels, which leads to moderate to severe reductions in biodiversity. This group of ants is often difficult to control, which adds significant economic and agricultural costs that compound the devastating ecological impact that these ants have. Now, there's much literature devoted towards looking at what factors allow for invasion, and this can include abiotic conditions of a native environment that might make it susceptible. Also could look at biotic resistance to see the local ants, to see if they're able to offer any resistance to this invasion. And there's a growing body of literature looking at mutualism exploitation. And we feel one of the key factors that might be responsible for invasion spread is hemipteran exploitation. Because if you look at the diets of these invasive ants in their home territories versus introduced territories, you see a shift in the amount of carbohydrates that are in their diet. We feel the source of that carbohydrate is hemipteran honeydew, as it's highly valuable, packed with sugars, can fuel the large worker forces that we see that are seem to offer that competition to natives, and it's readily available throughout the year. Now, if you have all this honeydew resource in these introduced environments, why aren't the natives able to use it and actually offer some sort of competition to the invasive ants? So this poses that question again, are invasive ants actually more effective mutualists than their native counterparts? So with that idea in mind, we looked at a model system. So we chose Linopithema humili, the Argentine ant, as an invasive. It's a highly successful global invader, especially in Mediterranean climates. Has a high affinity for sugary substances, in particular hemipteran honeydew. And we feel a native counterpart to that is Yoder's house ant, Tapenoma sessile. It's another major urban pest, especially in the northern US, and it has very similar behavior and ecology to the Argentine ant. In addition to being in the same subfamily and same relative shape and size, these ants can both form massive colonies with multiple queens, multiple nest sites within those colonies. They have the same general nesting requirements. Prior work of ours has actually shown that their crop volume and their workers is actually equivalent, and they both share a very high affinity for hemipteran honeydew. So we feel we got a good model system to do a comparative analysis. We focused our analysis on defensive aphid mutualists because probably, arguably, the single most important service the ants provide to their protected aphids is that protection against predators and parasites. So we pose the question, are the defensibilities between these ants different? And given the extremely aggressive nature of the Argentine ant, we hypothesize that Argentine ant workers will defend their mutualist aphids better than the Yoder's house ant. So we developed an experimental unit in the lab. This consisted of a small host plant for the hemipteran planted in soil. The ants were given a plaster nest covered with tile. They're supplemented with water, protein in the form of freshly killed German cockroaches, and diet medium. So that's our replicate. Now let's take a look at the organisms. Now I already talked about the Yoder's house ant and the Argentine ant. Let me tell you about our choice mutualist in this case, Aphis gossypii, the cotton aphid. This is an aphid that enters into a wide variety of ant-aphid interactions and has been shown to be tended by both of these ants. So we used 100 workers and one queen of either ant species and allowed them parallel access to cotton aphids on cotton plants. And once we had a good tending relationship established, we then put them to the test. And that was pitted the ants against a predator, starting with Chrysoprola carnea, the green lacewing larvae, late instar. So we dropped in one of these predators. We also wanted, this served as a predator that had the ability to crawl around. We also wanted ability of a predator to fly and evade the ants. And this was Hippodamia convergens, ladybird beetle adults. This served as another predator of choice. And then we also wanted to test these ants against a parasitoid, and we chose Aphidius colemani for that. And all three of these organisms will readily prey and parasitize cotton aphids specifically in the field. So that's the design. We wanted to measure the proportional change in aphid number through time, and we also wanted to look at ant activity, so the number of ants on the plants, and see how they responded to that predator presence. Now most of the data we're going to look at today was analyzed using a repeated measures analysis in SAS. So let me orient you with the graphs here. I provide you with a picture of the response. We have cotton aphids in the corner here, and the predator or parasite in the system. And we're looking at the proportional change of aphid number on the y-axis through days post predator introduction on the x. And the treatments are going to be as followed. We're going to have this top line is going to be ants tending aphids with no predators present. The bottom line is going to present aphids that are being consumed by predators with no ant protection. And the line that's going to fall in between these two controls is those where there, you had ants, aphids, and predators, so the defended aphid populations. So let's take a look at this first graph, and I'm going to bold these treatments to also help you with the comparisons. And this is just to show you the impact that those predators had when no ants were present. So you see a significant depression in those populations. However, even when ants were present, you still had a significant decline. However, that decline was not as drastic as that where no ants were present. So in this case, for the Argentine ant's protective ability, we see an intermediate level of protection offered by the Argentine ant. However, if we look at the odorous house ant, we see a significant decline of the, you know, so when we had the predator introduced, even when ants were present, you did see a significant drop off, and in fact, that drop was no different than predator controls. So statistically, what we see here is that the odorous house ant doesn't provide any protection against green lacewing larvae for their aphid populations. We switch over to the ladybird beetle defense. Just to show you again, they had a significant impact on those aphid populations and versus controls where no predators were present. In this case, though, the Argentine ant provided a very high level of protection for those aphids. And in fact, that protection was no different than those controls where no predators were present. So here we see an absolute level of protection offered by the Argentine ant for their aphids. We see a similar trend for the odorous house ant in that they did provide a very large amount of protection against ladybird beetle adults in this case. However, they did suffer a decline which made it significantly lower than their respective controls where no predators were present. So here, odorous house ant only provides an intermediate level of protection for their aphid populations. Now, the parasitism data is a little different because of the cryptic nature of actually tracking a parasitized aphid through time. What we're looking at here is proportion of parasitism on the y-axis as a snapshot 2 weeks later after the parasitoid was introduced. But as you can see, on the controls where no ants were present, we had a high level of parasitism compared to the treatments where ants were defending those populations. So here we see a far reduction in that parasitism. And in this case, both ants, no difference in their defensibility, and they're providing an intermediate level of protection for those for this assay. Now for the ant activity, because of the nature of this talk, we only have 10 minutes, and we saw all the same trends in every single assay we looked at. We're just gonna focus on one of the ant activity graphs. In this case, ladybird beetle data. Now you might expect that when you're looking, you would introduce a predator, you might see an upsurge in that ant activity. But we didn't see that for the Argentine ant, nor did we see that for the odorous house ant. We didn't see any change in activity even when the predator was present. What we did see in every single assay is that on average, you saw double the amount of Argentine ants on the plant versus the odorous house ant in every single assay. So to summarize, when we expose the aphids to green lacewing larvae, the Argentine ant provided intermediate level of protection, the odorous house ant no protection. Versus the ladybird beetle adults, Argentine ants provided an absolute level of protection versus the intermediate of the odorous house ant. Both ants provided intermediate protection against the parasitoid. But in terms of the ant activity, you saw double the amount of Argentine ants versus the odorous house ant. And we feel this partially explains this advantage that the Argentine ant had and seems to deter the preying activities of these two predators. So by having this better tending ability, this can lead to increased aphid populations, which can serve as a greater increased carbohydrate resource base, which has been shown to fuel faster ant colony growth. And we feel here that we've offered a mechanism that can partially explain invasion spread in this very important group of ants. With that, I'll take questions at this time. Thank you for your attention. Yes, sir.
Mm. Did the larvae survive through the treatment, or was it killed by the ants?
So the question was, what was the fate of the green lacewing larvae? And for the controls, the reason why they were only exposed for 4 or 5 days is because on the controls, that late instar would then pupate. So you were, you know, that's kind of gave us the mark to kind of cut off the experimental trials. In terms of experimental trials, we never recovered the green lacewing larvae from the system. So they were not on the plants, and we couldn't find them in the actual replicate anywhere. So they were presumed dead via the ants, but I can't attest to that directly. Yes, sir.
Are there any differences between the two ant species in their rates of consumption of honeydew?
Well,
do you know?
See, that's if you look at all the different pieces that we've analyzed, you have the same crop volume for them. You have, and although this didn't show that, we also had assays where we didn't have predators and just looked at population growth in response to these two assays. That was last year's talk. And it seems that they're, because of the larger worker force and they're taking the same amount, they're imbibing larger amounts of honeydew with the, and it's, it kind of acts in synergy with those larger populations sustained. Yes, sir. You, yeah, in the white. Yeah.
So although not statistically significant, you showed that basically the native ants afforded some slightly higher average rate of protection against parasitic wasps.
Let's go back. Here.
Yeah, so in light of that, would you care to speculate whether you think parasitism or predation has a larger impact on native populations in this particular case?
Well, this is interesting, because this is probably the most fairest representation of the data, because what you don't know to this story is that the Argentine ant can actually evoke a faster reproductive response by this aphid. So I also tracked aphid populations through time. It's actually kind of interesting to look at, even though they were parasitized, what happens to the aphids, they stop reproducing. So you see this separation between the treatments. And here we're looking at, okay, based on that initial population, what did the parasitism look like? So if you look at that data, you can see that, oh wow, the Argentine ants are actually really good at protecting, and so it kind of skews it the other way. This data looks slightly skewed towards the odorous house ant, but what's interesting though, if you think about it, they do have less ants on there. So per capita, and this is written into the paper, the native ant actually provides per capita sometimes better protection than the Argentine ant. However, the resulting populations that result from it are always higher in the invasives case.
Okay.